like to open with a verse from Psalm 95. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods, for he is our God. It's a very inspirational psalm. One that talks about singing. One that talks about making a joyful noise in our hearts because of who God is. I want to talk about singing this morning. I was blessed with the singing thus far. There's something about when we lift our voices together in song that we find inspiration. It lifts our spirits. And I want to think about singing this morning. Sermon title is simply, Singing for the Glory of God. All through the scriptures, you'll find accounts of people that sang. They sang their testimony. The things that were happening in the heart, they would lift up their voice in song and praise God for who he was. And my question is, are you doing that today? Are you singing and praising God? And so I have a few questions this morning. Why did we sing this morning? Why do we come to church and sing songs? Why didn't we just have 10 men up front, maybe a chorus of 10 people, and let them sing for us? Did you sing this morning? Maybe I should give you a little background on why I chose to preach on singing. Recently, I was at a church, and we began to sing, and I discovered that I didn't think hardly anyone was singing. There was about 60 people present, and as the song leader was a very aggressive song leader, I really enjoyed the song leader. He was enthused about his songs, and he began to sing, and I'm like, is there anybody here? And so the brother beside me is singing tenor, and I began to sing bass, and I think we're the only ones singing. To the point we get into the chorus, and the sisters were to carry the part, and no one sang. No one sang, and the song leader all of a sudden jumps in and starts to sing the lady's part. And this is awful. We go to a church to praise God. So my question is, are you singing this morning? And I want to say thank you. We have a good congregation. I just want this sermon to be inspirational so we don't stop singing. I don't feel that we have trouble singing. But the question is everyone here singing what they can? Maybe you don't enjoy singing. And I understand some of us love to sing and some of us don't love to sing. But we want to look at the scripture this morning and say, what does God expect from his people? How does singing affect me? I was at another church, and I was sitting up front here, and there was about two benches of young boys right behind me. And again, the song leader began to sing, and I'm like, is anybody singing? Now, young boys, you should be letting it roll. There should be no question if the young boys are singing, or the young ladies are singing, or the middle-aged men, or the middle-aged ladies, or the old men. We all can lift up our voices in song together. And I think it's a shame when I can't hear someone singing. And so the question is, are you singing this morning? Singing for the glory of God. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. For we have a great God. God has done so much that his people should have a song on their heart. And maybe you don't feel very jubilant about singing. But there's something about when we lift our voices together. What was the first song we sang this morning? I did not request this song. But our song leader chose to lead, Lift Your Glad Voices in Triumph on High. For Jesus is risen. You've got something to sing about this morning. And I thought about you, lift your glad voices. I wonder how many felt they had a glad voice to lift this morning. Or were you sitting here saying, wow, it's been a rough week. Kind of tired. Wish I could have slept in a little more this morning. See, singing is to take our hearts and our minds and think about the great God. We don't have two songs so that people can come drifting in. We do well here. But there are some churches I've observed that the singing is for, you know, the first song, there's nobody there. The second song, they're getting there. And by the time the devotional leader gets up, they're there. That's not why we have singing. We have singing so that our hearts is lifted and we think about God. It's a way that we turn off what's happening in this world and what's happening in our life. And we think about God. That's why we sing. That's why we lifted our voices together, because of what God has done. Lift your glad voices. And so I want to have a long introduction just thinking about songs and different verses that talk about the history of singing in the Bible. Then we'll go to scripture verses of why we should sing. And so the earliest account in the scriptures to talk about singing, we have it in Job 38, verse 7. It says, "When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy." It's God talking here. He's talking to Job. And he's talking about when God created the world. And it says, "The morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy." And I think it was a time of, I wonder what that sounded like. The sons of God shouting for joy. It was not four-part harmony, but it was harmony. It was a praising God for who he was because of the greatness of God, the creation for making mankind. And it said they lifted their voices together and they praised God. The morning stars sang together. And maybe that's terminology for the sons of God, beings, celestial beings. But we have through scripture that the celestial beings are singing and praising God. If all the stars sing praises to God, surely we can sing praises to God. The first account in the scripture, that was the oldest account, that goes way back in creation, we have singing. But the first account in the scriptures where we have people singing together was when the children of Israel went through the Red Sea. Let's turn to Exodus 15. Exodus 15 is the account where, of course, as I said, Moses led the children through the Red Sea. And it was a traumatic experience. And God came through strong. God was there. And they say they lifted up their voices. "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength." And it goes on. It's a powerful song. It's a song about who God is, the greatness of God. That's what our singing should be focused on, of the greatness and the glory of God. It stands in such a stark contrast to the music of this world. This sermon is not about our music selection. But I just want to throw it out there. It stands in such stark contrast. Is our music glorifying and praising God, or is our music glorifying and praising something else? "Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Their right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. O Lord, hath dashed in pieces of the..." It just goes on. "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" What a song. And the children of Israel all gathered together, lifted up their voices, and they sang this song. Singing and music was a very much a part of the Old Testament worship. We could turn to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles talks about that they ordained singers. I'm going to turn there. There was 4,000 Levites chosen by David for temple service. In 1 Chronicles 15, verse 16, we have this verse. "And David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers with instruments of music, psaltery and harps and cymbals, sounding by lifting up their voice with joy. And it goes on and talks about, and so they appointed people to sing. And so David appointed chief singers, people that were skilled at singing. Verse 22, it talks about he was a skillful singer. I had that verse down there because it says he was skillful. And I had to wonder, in what way was he skilled? Was he skilled at playing instruments? Was he skilled at his voice? Or was he skilled at leading? It just says he was a skillful singer. And we had a whole group of people that were skillful in singing. If we turn over to chapter 23, verse 5. Here's where it says there was 4,000. Moreover, 4,000 were porters, and 4,000 praised the Lord with the instruments which I have made, said David, to praise therewith. 4,000 people. I just can't imagine what that would have sounded like. We have 112 here today. That's not even a quarter. 4,000 people that were. And these were older people between the age of 30. The singer served between the age of 30 and 50 with a 5-year training period preceding this. This was a quote out of Zondervan Encyclopedia of the Bible. And so these were older people, but they would sing and they would praise God together. Can you think of any accounts in the scripture where it says Jesus sang? Can you imagine, I'm moving from the Old Testament, moving into the New Testament, but can you think of a scripture where it says Jesus sang a song? Wonder what that sounded like. In Matthew 26, you know, when it was at the Lord's Supper, it said when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And so Jesus and his disciples sang together. The singing in the Old Testament is different than what we sing today. Today we have four-part harmony, but in the old times they didn't sing four-part harmony. It was more of a chant, or maybe as a recital. Maybe Jesus said the first words and then they recited it back. But I believe it was still some kind of a singing, a melody. At the Lord's Supper, they would sing Psalm 113 and Psalm 114. And we could turn to those Psalms. It was more of a, that's where the book of Psalms was there, because they're songs that's what they sung. Again, Psalm 113 is talking about the greatness of who God is. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raised up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with the princess, even the princess of his people. And it's psalms of praise. Psalm 114 talks about when the sea saw it and fled, Jordan was driven back, and it's talking about their glorious deliverance from Egypt. And they would sing these psalms. Psalm 115, they would sing Psalm 113 and 114 before supper, and after the supper was eaten, they would sing Psalm 115 and 116. 116 says, I love the Lord, because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. And it just goes on. That's how the Old Testament, or the scriptural time, that's how their singing was. Of taking the Psalms, it was more of a chant, of reading through it. I'm not exactly sure how their singing was, but it was, they sang the Psalms that was in our Bible. In Zephaniah 3, verse 17, it says, the Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, is mighty, he will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy, he will rest in his love, he will joy over thee with singing. It's talking about our great God is going to joy over his people with singing. God sings, because his people bring in great joy. I find that to be an interesting verse. And of course, there's lots of accounts of people singing, but we can't get away from Paul and Silas, right? Paul and Silas was at a low time in their life when they were cast into jail. It's in Acts 16, verse 25. They were cast into jail, and their feet were in their stocks, and they were tight, and they were beat. And I believe they were bleeding, and they were hurting. And it says at midnight, they sang songs together. And I can't imagine, but Peter looked over there, or else Paul. Paul looked over. I often get Peter and Paul mixed up, so I'm sorry. Paul looked at Silas, and he said, Silas, what should we sing? I'm hurting so bad. And Silas said, well, why don't we sing, My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For all the follies of sin I resign. I don't know what they sang. They didn't get the hymns of the church out. They didn't get the Christian hymnal out. There was a song in their heart. They knew it by memory. It would be so wonderful to know what they sang. But I know it was praise to God. It was praise about who God was. It was praise about his deliverance. It was praise about God's greatness. It was praise about what God is doing in their lives. Maybe they even sang praise of thankfulness for what God is allowing them to go through. I know that the songs they sang was a song of their thankfulness to God. It was not some for country song. They could have sang a song about the chains and prison. It wasn't that. It wasn't a rap. It was a song from the heart about who God was. There's a lot of songs that's sung in this world. But only the songs that come forth out of your heart in praise to God are the songs that's important. What kind of song is coming out of your mouth, out of my mouth? The songs that we sing tell us something about who we are. And so I would like to look at several points on what the scriptures say about singing. Point number one that I have is godly singing isn't an option. It's a command. The scripture is full of commands to sing. Psalm 96, so sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Psalm 47:6, sing praises to God. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. In those two verses, we were commanded seven times to sing. To sing praises, just those two verses. There's over 400 scriptural commands in the scripture that tell us to sing, to sing. Let's just turn to Psalm 100, very familiar psalm. We're thinking about it's a scriptural command to sing. Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. We could go from psalm to psalm. Psalm 95. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. We could go into the New Testament. It's not just Old Testament. I mean, we could spend all morning just reading through the Psalms. But we go into the New Testament of Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. In Ephesians 5, verse 19, it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 14 says, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding. And we could just keep on going through verse after verse after verse. That in many psalms that are just saying, sing, sing unto the Lord, praise his name. So we are commanded to sing. Point number two is, godly singing helps us to remember the words. One of the reasons we sing is so that it helps us to remember the words. You could think about back to your childhood. Maybe it was a little nursery rhyme that your mom sang to you. And it's just in your head. You can just sing it. Or it's the songs that you sang in school because you sang them over and over and over. And to this day, you can sing that song word for word. It's because there's a melody to it. And singing puts it into our head. We store hundreds or probably thousands of songs in our minds. And at a moment's notice, we can pull them out. Now, I don't know how you are, but I can hear the first few lines or strains of the song, and my mind immediately goes to the song. You can be walking through a store, and the same thing can happen. A song could come across the music that they are playing, and it's like, I know that song. Your mind is storing every song. So when we said, lift your glad voices and triumph on high, for Jesus is risen and man shall not die, you knew that song. It was in your mind. It was in your heart. And you probably looked at your songbook to figure it out. But it was in your heart and in your mind. You knew the song. You could probably sing that whole first line by memory. Our minds are so peculiar. One side of our brain stores the words. Another section of our brain stores the melody. And so when we take the melody and we take the words, we're using both sides and we're putting it together. It's not the same section of the brain that remembers the words and remembers the music. So it makes it, that's interesting to me. And so that's why we can maybe remember the music versus or the melody better than the words sometimes. God knows this. God knows that when we sing something, we remember. And he told his people, he said, I want you to sing a song. Because you're going to forget what I tell you. But if you sing it, you'll remember. Do you know that's in the scriptures? Turn with me to Deuteronomy 31. I found that to be an interesting verse. That God says you need to sing it because that'll help you remember. Deuteronomy 31. Verse 21. And it shall come to pass, when many evils and troubles are befallen them, and this song shall testify against them as a witness, for it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed, for I know their imagination, which they go about, even now, before I have brought them into the land which I swear. Moses therefore wrote this song the same day and taught it to the children of Israel. He gave it to Joshua, and they taught it to the people. It basically is saying, if you're going to forget it, and so I want you to sing it. I want you to teach your children how to sing this song. And the song was about the greatness and glory of who God was. I believe there's songs that we sing should be in our heart. And again, when Paul and Silas sang songs together, it was from the heart. There were some songs that were meaningful to them. And they just opened up their mouth and began to sing. I think we should do more songs from memory. And I know some of us don't like singing from memory, and I'm not saying all the time. But it's good practice to be able to take a song and sing the first verse by memory. Because when we sing it from memory, we're thinking about the words that we're saying. We sing it from our heart. It just takes on a different meaning. It's so easy to take a songbook. And this, you know, they announced the number. I just opened it up with 640, extol the love of Christ. And we just extol the love of God, Christ, ye saints, and sing his wondrous worth. And I'm thinking about what's for lunch. And the song's about extolling the love of Christ. And my mind is, I wonder if I got that job done yet. Oh, we're now for God, he brought his blessings rare. To God, he did ascend. And hey, where'd he go? What? And our minds just start to We need to focus on the songs and the words and thinking about what we're singing. Godly singing helps us to remember the words. Think about the words that we sing and let your spirit sing. When you're enthused about what God has done, and the song says, lift your glad voices, it should do something to us and our volume should increase. We want to sing praises to God. Now, nowhere in the scripture does it say, listen to music. I didn't find any verse that said, sit and listen to music. Everywhere in the scripture it says, you sing. You sing. I spent some time looking for it. And the children of Israel had singers. They had the 4,000 singers. And so I suppose that as they sang, maybe the children of Israel listened. It doesn't say that. Or maybe the 4,000 singers led the rest of the children of Israel in songs. There is a certain aspect that when we sing, there's probably going to be an audience. There's people listening. But the emphasis over and over and over again is you sing. You create your own music. Lift up your hearts and you let it come out of your heart and come out of your life. Songs to Jesus Christ. Nowhere does it say, let someone sing to you. That's not wrong, but I believe we live in a world like no other time where we consume music. We listen to music. And if you're listening to music, it should be the type of music that you begin to sing along. And now you're singing. And praise the Lord. That's the point of songs, that it would inspire us to sing. And so you find yourself listening, you sing along. Sing to the Lord. Point number three is, godly singing will influence me. Any type of music influences us. But godly music influences us in the right way. It does. I had to think of the account in 1 Samuel 16. It's when Saul was in a bad mood. And he would have David come and play. He would play his harp for Saul. And it says Saul was refreshed. And David's singing and his music would change his mood and his mind. Music, singing, affects us. And so we want to have godly music. Godly music. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns. Do you think about when you sing, how the mood of music changes? I thought about singing, Lift Your Glad Voices, and I keep using that song, so we won't. But it's a powerful song, and you just want to stand up and you want to sing. But what if we were to sing another song? Turn to number 243 in the Hymns of the Church. And this is thinking about the suffering of Christ. 'Tis midnight. When you sing songs, the different music will affect us differently. The point is this, music affects us. Music influences us. And when we sing a sad song, 'tis midnight. And the older you get, the more you don't like midnight. Dark things. You can't sleep. And it's midnight. It's dark. 'Tis midnight, and on Olive's brow, the star is dimmed that lately shone. 'Tis midnight in the garden now, the suffering Savior prays alone. This is not a jubilant song. This is not a song where you just want to stand up and say, praise the Lord. This is a song that just takes our minds to the suffering Savior and what Jesus has went through. 'Tis midnight and from all removed, the Savior wrestles alone with fears. And you know, that song is to take your minds and to say, why? Why was there no one with our Lord and our Savior? Why was he all alone? The injustice. That song should stir in our hearts to think about what Christ did for you and I. Suffering all alone. No one with him. And it goes on. Songs affect our mood. They do. And we need a balance. We can't sing all Lift Your Glad Voices songs. There's times when we need to sing meaningful songs about what Christ has done. It needs to be a balance. John Wesley said this. He was introducing a new hymnal, and he said, sing lustily and with good courage. Beware of singing as if you are half dead or half asleep, but lift up your voice with strength. Be no more afraid of your voice now, nor more ashamed at it being heard than when you sung the songs of Satan or sung the songs of your past life. Don't be ashamed to sing. Don't be ashamed of your voice. Maybe you feel like you can't sing. Maybe you're afraid that your voice doesn't blend. That's okay. Sing regardless. I might add this. As a child, I grew up not enjoying singing. I was not good. I was not musically inclined. And I hated singing. And so when I say sitting on the youth bench and sing, I was one of those boys that I didn't like to hear my voice. And I had people say, well, you need to sing. You need to lift up your voice. And I'd be like, you're not going to hear me sing. It was a fear that I had to overcome. There's nowhere in the scripture does it say, you know, only sing if you're good at it. Every one of us can lift up and join in singing of some type. Music affects us. That's the point. I worked with a fella years ago that had a troubled past, and he was one that grew up with rock music. And he told me, Vernon, he said, when you're having a bad day, just crank it up. And he said, it's going to go better. Music affects us. We're talking about ungodly music here. The music of this world, that hard beat, affects our minds. And it can dull our minds. And if you're having a bad day, just jam it. Crank it up. In construction world, those that are in construction world, you know a lot of the people in construction listen to a lot of hard music. And when they're having a bad day, just you would never walk in a job site without some music. Music affects us. There was a study that was done on mice. There was three groups of mice. And the one group of mice were raised in silence, no music. The second group of mice were raised with classical Strauss music, which is a very high a waltz. The third group was raised with a very hard beat, what we would call a rock-style music. After a certain amount of time went past, they left these mice loose, put them down through a maze to find food. The group that was raised in silence and the group that listened to classical music, they excelled. They knew what they were doing. The ones that were raised with a hard beat rock could not function. They got lost. They did not have reasoning. Music affects us. We tend to think it don't. But godly music, brothers and sisters, it affects us in the right way. Let's be singing godly music. Point number four is godly music promotes unity in the church. Now, did you ever think about that music promotes unity? I enjoyed this point because as I thought about it, when we sing together, we blend our voices. We blend together, and that's unity. And as we had 120 people here this morning and we all blended our voices, that's unity. There was not one person that was singing really, really high and somebody was singing really, really low and you're like, what's that all about? We all blended our voices and together we were a group of unity. Music does that. You know, so many times we like to feel like we have our own individual rights. But every time we sing, I'm laying my rights down, and I blend my voice with my brother, and we sing. Singing binds us together. There's actually a scientific study on that. that as we sing together, we become scientifically bonded in a real way. It's an interesting study, but singing promotes unity. So your voice does matter. Maybe you don't like to sing, but your voice does matter, and so we sing together in unity. Point number five is, godly music encourages each other. There's times in my life where I just don't feel like singing. I'll be real about that. We just don't feel like it. Maybe we're just going through some hard times and we just don't really have a song. But when other people sing to us, it encourages us because we think about the greatness of God. That's why in the children of Israel, God wanted them to sing about who he was. It would take their minds to the great God. It took their mind off their problems. You can't sing and be discouraged at the same time. When you sing about who God is, it raises your spirits. That's why we go sing, we say we sing for in older homes, for the elderly. People that are in, they cannot get out. And so when you come and you sing, it raises their spirits. And they think about who God is. Singing encourages one another. I enjoy singing for older people. And you watch them begin to sing along. It's because their mind goes back to a song that they sang at church 20 years ago, maybe in their youth. And they're like, I used to sing that song at summer Bible school. You hear that. And they sing along. And it changes their mindset. Godly singing encourages others. And so when we go to sing, lift up your voice and sing. We should not be standing there with a sad expression on our face. We should not have our faces buried in our songbooks. Lift up your gaze and sing about who great God is. Point number six is godly singing identifies who we are. In Ephesians 5, it talks about walking as children of light. I'm going to read a few verses from Ephesians 5. It's not talking so much about singing. It's talking about our lives. It's talking about the sinful life of this world and the sinful life of those that are not following the Lord. Verse 8 talks about walk as children of light. And when God's Spirit dwells in our heart, it changes us. And we began to sing about what God has done for us. Verse 15 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as the wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And then verse 19, it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it continues on. This whole chapter is talking about the changed life. And when our lives are changed, we have something to sing about. Point number seven is godly singing strengthens us to face trials. It's very similar to the point that we've been talking about. But I think about Paul and Silas. It's how they strengthened themselves was by singing. And they began to focus on who God was. I don't think they probably felt like singing. But I think they said, you know, we should sing. And so they did. I read recently the accounts of our Anabaptist forefathers that when they were cast into dungeons, one account read that there was three levels. There was the main floor, then the next level was, and the third floor was down in the dungeon. It was down, it was dark, it was mucky. And the men said, we should sing. And they began to sing. And their voices came up out of that cell, and the ones above them heard them. And they joined their voice, and they sang, and the ones above them heard it, and they sang, and they joined their voices together, even though they were in three total separate floors, and they sang together. Not all of them, most of their lives were lost for the sake of Christ. But singing encouraged them to face the trials. A song will stay with us. You know, you sing a song one night, you get up in the morning, and it's still in your mind. And that is so important that we are singing godly songs, so that we can rise in the morning and we have a godly song in our heart and in our mind. Job 35 talks about we have a song in the night. He says, "But none saith, where is God, my maker, who giveth songs in the night?" And again, it's the reference to the low times of life. When you're not feeling very cheerful, but God gives a song to strengthen us to face trials. Number 8 is godly singing glorifies God in all circumstances. Singing, godly singing, always glorifies God. God takes great joy when his people sing. And point 9 is godly singing points toward an eternity together. And we know in heaven, in our eternal abode, we will be singing together. Revelation 15:3, "And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, the King of saints." We're going to be singing forever and eternity. So why wouldn't we sing today? Why wouldn't we sing in this world? We should. Godly singing isn't an option. It's a command. Number 2 was godly singing helps us remember the words. Number 3, godly singing will influence me. Number 4 was godly singing promotes unity in the church. Number 5, godly singing encourages others. Number 6 is godly singing identifies who we are. Number 7, godly singing strengthens us to face the trials. Number 8, godly singing glorifies God. And number 9, godly singing points to an eternity together. So brothers and sisters, keep singing. God wants us to sing. We have a song in our heart of what God has done, and we need to let it out in praise to God. God bless you as a congregation as we continue to sing together. Let's kneel for a word of prayer.